ABC Radio Australia.
In the eyes of many Papua New Guineans, something even bigger than independence happened in 1975, because in what was a landmark year for the country's national sport of rugby league, the PNG Kumus played their first ever international match. Now, half a century later, PNG has thriving national competitions for men and women, a national women's team that has been established, and the PNG Hunters are firmly entrenched in the Queensland Cup competition. And on top of that, as Richard Ewart reports, the biggest prize of all is within PNG's grasp as they prepare to take their place in Australia's National Rugby League competition in 2028.
2 months before it became an independent nation, Papua New Guinea had already made a very clear statement about the country's pending arrival on the global stage, as perhaps only PNG could. Rugby league writer and author Patrick Skeen says it was in July that year that the Kumuls played their first international match against England in front of 12,000 supporters in Port Moresby.
The captain, Kumul number one, Paul Chue, was actually a Chinese Papua New Guinean from Rabaul, but most of the players were either Highlanders or New Guinea Islanders coming together. And I think that team was the real first time we got to see the new proud post-independence Papua New Guinea.
By 1975, rugby league was already entrenched in PNG's DNA, with integrated competitions established in the 1960s. And sometimes enthusiasm for the game boiled over.
They had their own state of origin every year, which actually got to fever pitch. So it was Papua versus New Guinea. And they were so crazy for that in 1974, there was a riot after their version of state of origin, and it was never played again. So it was already at packed house, fanatical level, and the first Kumuls team just walked into that very warm atmosphere.
And over the years since, the Kumuls have channeled that fanaticism, and they've had some notable wins. But while they've had their moments, they're yet to conquer Australia.
August Joseph.
Now, though, PNG is on the brink of the biggest event in their national sports history, the arrival of a Papua New Guinea team in the NRL. And on the sports fields in Port Moresby, there is no shortage of young players who want to be part of it.
The boys are, you know, training hard and trying their best, because there's a pathway created by the NRL.
With the 19 team in the NRL, rugby league can help a lot of youths here.
In PNG, there are many sickness, and rugby can fight against it, so it's important.
Some of us, life is hard, and our dream is to play rugby in NRL.
It was PNG's founding father, Sir Michael Somare, who actually started the campaign for a PNG NRL team back in 2008, when he committed some $7 million to the process. However, the big push began in 2019 under Prime Minister James Marape, which culminated last year in the $600 million deal signed by the Australian government, with just under half that money set aside to fund a PNG NRL franchise during its first 10 years. But former national men's coach and now governor of East New Britain, Michael Marram, says there's still plenty of work to be done in preparation for the big kickoff in 2028 if PNG is to get the best out of its homegrown players.
There's a lot of talent around. We're glad that now we have the NRL program that's been rolled out around the country. There's pathway programs for junior age group, boys and girls, right across the country. There's a lot of work to be done. The NRL bid team, they've been going in and out of each province, trying to run awareness campaigns or coaching clinics, making sure we develop not only players, but we identify good coaches, trainers, managers that can be able to contribute to the team long term. Yeah.
Marram was also the inaugural coach of the PNG Hunters, whose arrival in the Queensland Cup in 2014 prompted people to ask, how long will it last? Well, not only did the team prosper, but Marram says it unified the warring factions who had been locked in a court battle for control of PNG national game.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Hunter sort of brought everyone back into the picture, and when we won that first game against Redcliffe, that sent a signal to all the clubs in Queensland that this Hunter team is not just making up the numbers. We were serious. Eventually, we went on and finished sixth in the competition. Second year, we had 70 wins in a row. That's a record for Queensland Cup. 16 missed out on the finals. 17 was a good year for us.
Boas kicks when he goes. It's there, full time at Suncorp Stadium. The Hunters are premier.
Another concern associated with the Hunters was the security of away teams, an issue that's been raised again in connection with the NRL franchise. But Patrick Skeen says the facts speak for themselves.
I did some research and I found out that the PNG Hunters have hosted 102 home games in Papua New Guinea, and there has not been a single reported security incident. And I don't think that's been raised quite seriously when people continue to talk about the security issues, the fact that we've had an unblemished 12-year record.
Part of the NRL plan also includes the establishment of a women's team. And when that happens, Cathy Nyap, who captained the national women's team, the Orchids, in their debut match, says it would be transformative.
I'm leading my team out. It was rugby league, a sport that is known as a male-dominated sport in our country, is now being played by women, and the feeling was just incredible. If PNG do have an NRL women's team, it's going to be mind-blowing. Every young girl would want to play in that team.
The rise of the women's game in PNG has been perhaps the most remarkable rugby league development of the past 50 years.
Rugby league brought us together, single mothers, young girls, girls from different communities and backgrounds, being part of a team and after game socializing. Every time, you know, someone would do a sidestep or a good kick and went and score a try, made us feel good about ourselves, especially girls and women in the settlement areas. It gave them hope and inspiration.
But in the early days, Cathy Nyap and her fellow players had to battle against a wave of misogyny, particularly on social media. And as a result, she says male coaches were just too scared to help them. But victory over England in 2019 went a long way to setting old prejudices aside.
Half of them, yeah. Shirley Jones, sorry, yeah.
So as the country marks its silver jubilee, Patrick Skeen says there is much to look forward to for PNG on the rugby league field.
There's going to be a next generation of PNG players who rise in a very well-organised now Digicel Cup, the domestic competition. They're going to come out of a very well-organised and funded national schools competition, which they don't have now. So all of this infrastructure in place, there's going to be kids growing up that think it's their birthright to play in the NRL. And that sort of confidence is going to breed NRL players who believe from the very beginning of their careers.
So could Michael Marram be tempted back to coaching from the political world? Probably not, but he does have a plan to bring the PNG NRL team to play in his province of East New Britain.
The new Colourbone Stadium, hopefully we'll complete it early next year, and we're putting iron up that we have a facility now that's built to world standards, so one day maybe we can see the new franchise come here and play in front of our own people.